You have something, Sister Bandy? Okay, come ahead.
I somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me, and the secrets must unfold. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Precious Father, loving Mother, fly across the lonely years, and old home scenes of my childhood in fond memory appears. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. Sacred scenes unfold. As I travel on life's pathway, know not what the years may hold. As I ponder, hope grows fonder, precious upon my soul. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold.
I too would like to welcome each one of you tonight and appreciate you coming out and thank Brother Miller the things that's been said. And I think as a pastor, he's done everything that he possibly could in his power to try to prepare God's people. He's been preaching several Sundays about how we need to prepare ourselves for this revival, and how important it was to be here and try to support it, where we could pray for one another and pray for the lost. There are those that are not here tonight that I was hoping that would be here, not where they would come just to hear me, but they would be in a service that they just might hear the gospel and their heart be pricked, whether it be me bringing the message or Brother Miller bringing the message. That my heart was heavy for them, and it still is. And there are those here tonight that my heart has been heavy for, and I'm glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you're here. And I hope and pray tonight that the night could be your night. You know, Jesus tells us that where two or three together in his name, that he'd be in the midst. Well, you know what? There's more than two or three here tonight. So I believe that he's in the midst of us tonight. But he don't actually say that he's going to manifest his power. We need to pray that his power will come down and be with us tonight. Not that he'd be amongst us, but his power would be shown and moved about us. Great power that you could see the power of conviction. That we'd be able to see lost souls get saved. That his power might be manifested. Not just be here among us, but we can see him working in us. We need that. We need that for revival, as Brother Miller had spoke, as a church, as his people. We need that. And I've thought about what brings revival and what is revival. The church needs to be revived, and I've seen it work both ways. I've seen the church be really cold and really indifferent. He was asking you, how do you feel tonight? Are you cold? Are you lukewarm? Where do you stand tonight? Where is your heart at tonight? Is it where it needs to be? As God's people, is our heart where it needs to be? That we can serve the Lord in a manner that would be pleasing to Him? We need Him in our midst tonight. But I tell you what, there's another in our midst tonight. And you don't think it's so, the devil's here tonight. He does not want this revival to go on. He does not want the church to be revived. He would love for us to be cold and to be lukewarm. He would love for us to just shut our mouth and not preach the gospel where the lost won't be able to hear the word of God, that they won't be able to be saved. Satan would love that. So you know what? He's here tonight too. And I tell you, don't quench the Spirit of God. If God leads you, this is the Lord's service, okay? If the Lord leads you to do something, by all means, do it. But I tell you something too. I said the devil's here tonight, and he is. And I've seen the Lord moving among us and the Spirit of God moving among us and people doing what the Lord's wanted to do. But then I've seen people stand and maybe do something. It seemed like it just, God's Spirit just went cold. I'm telling you like it is. I've seen it happen. And when that Spirit goes cold like that, to me, I don't think the Lord's in it. We cannot try to make things happen on our own. We can't do it. We got to have the Lord in it. And we have the Lord in it, things will be, He's going to be glorified and things are going to be manifested and we're going to see His power. But I tell you something, the Lord can use us. But I tell you something else, the devil can use us too. The devil can cause us to sit in our seat and just not do a thing. Sinner, if you're here tonight and you're lost and separated from God, the Lord can convict your heart. He can deal with your heart. And He could try to draw you to Him. And Satan's going to be on the other side telling you, don't you worry about it. You don't need the Lord and you don't need to be saved. What you're feeling is nothing to it. That it's not real. I thought about today of the cartoons I have seen through the years. Where you see a person trying to decide to do the right thing and the wrong thing. And you have a little old angel pop up on the shoulder trying to tell them to do the right thing. Then you have another angel pop up on the shoulder, which is the devil. And they're trying to convince them one's good and one's bad. Well, you know what? There's a lot of reality to that. There's a whole lot of reality to that, that we are in a war, people. We're in a war tonight against good and evil. They sang that song, and I appreciate the good songs tonight. And I was thinking about the song that they sang, that I'd rather have Jesus. Well, you know, I thought about that commercial that says, I've got milk. Well, you know what? I've got Jesus. And I'm thankful. And I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Than anything in the world, I'd rather have Jesus. And you know what? I've got Him. Because the Lord had saved my soul one day. And you know what? It's my desire tonight that everybody that's sitting under the sound of my voice has got Jesus. But as Brother Miller made mention earlier, there are some here tonight by their testimonies that they don't have Jesus. They just don't have Him. Y'all pray for me. I try not to worry your patience. You know, I've been nervous. I don't want to fail the church. And I appreciate your confidence that you have in me. But most of all, I don't want to fail the Lord. And you know, if I don't fail the Lord, I know I can't fail the church, because He's the one that I need to satisfy. He's the one that I need to please. And not just me, but every one of you. He's the one that we need to please. Jeremiah, 8th chapter, 8th verse. It says, how do ye say we are wise in the law of the Lord? Got to clean my eyes out here where I can see. Verse 8. It says, how do ye say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? It says, lo, the law of the Lord is with us. Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone, from the least even to the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush, therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Said, I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes in the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade. And the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. It says, why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities. And let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace and no good came, and for the time of health and beheld trouble. The snorting of his horses were heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the nine of his strong ones. For they are come and have devoured the land, and all that is in it, the city, and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents and cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. For when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Said, behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them they dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? Says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And I'm going to stop right there. And Jeremiah, he was mourning for the Jews because there was great sin in them. And they said, you know, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. We're just now beginning in our summer, what we call summer. But sinner friend, what I want you to think about tonight, summer's here, but how many summers have passed? How many times has the harvest come? How many times has the summer come and it's passed and you're still not saved? Why are you not saved? I remember 3 or 4 weeks ago, Kaylee come up here to the altar. And she appeared to be pouring her heart out. And she looked at me. She said, it is so hard. She felt like she was doing everything she possibly could do. And she said, it is so hard. You know what? I know how she felt. Because when she said that, it took me back to the time that when I was lost and that I was seeking the Lord, and it seemed like that I was trying to do everything possible to be saved, and it just wasn't getting done. It just wasn't happening. But you know what? When the Lord saved me, it seemed like it was so easy. I mean, for something to be so hard and to be so difficult, when the Lord saved me, it was so easy. You know what was easy about it? It's because I was trying to do everything except what I was supposed to do. There's two things that are required for a person to be saved by the grace of God, and that's repentance and faith. There are those that have come to the altar. There are those that sit in their seats and won't make a move and come to the altar, and they may sit in their seat and they're praying, or they act like they're praying. Or they might get down in the floor in the back there, wherever they might go. We don't know what's going on in their hearts, and we don't know what is standing in their way. The summer has ended, and they're still not saved. There are so many of them here tonight that summers have passed, and they're still not saved. Sinner friend, I ask you to search your hearts. Whatever you're doing, it ain't working. If you was doing the right thing, you would be saved. It's that simple. It seems so hard, but yet it is so simple. Look at your lives. What are you dependent on? Are you dependent on mom? Are you dependent on dad? Are you dependent on your wife? Are you dependent on your husband or your grandma or your grandpa? Who are you dependent on? There ain't a doubt that these people love you, but they sure can't save you. You can only be saved by the grace of God. So ask yourself, what is standing in your way? Is it pride? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Quit worrying about what people might think or that they might look at you in a certain way. It's not important. God hates pride. Get rid of it. I remember Brother Tyler, it comes to me, and I've told you this before, when Brother Tyler was younger. He come out the house, and he was sitting on one end of the porch in a swing, and I was sitting on the other end of the porch, and we were talking, and he'd never been told of being saved yet. And I remember him sitting out there, and we was having that conversation and talking about being lost and going to hell. And you know what? He wasn't saved, but he told me, he said, pride sure ain't worth the price of going to hell over. He knew that. Now, I don't know what was standing in his way at the time, but he knew that pride wasn't worth it to die and go to hell over. Faith. Where is your faith? You know what? I believe there's many that has come to this altar and prayed. And some of them look like, well, they're almost there. They're almost there. I wonder how many people that was almost there and died and went to hell. How many was almost there? Hell is enlarging herself because people were almost there. Hell is enlarging herself because people were almost Christians. They didn't make it. And they might have went for years and years and years. 5, 10, 15, 20 years that they went to the altar and was praying to be saved, and they never got saved. They were almost there. I'm telling you, you've got to get all the way there. Not part of the way, but all the way. You can't have doubt in your heart. And I've said it before, and you've probably heard Brother Miller say it before. And I know that you hear the gospel every Sunday that you come into the doors. You hear the truth preached to you. And I thank with all your heart that you believe with the ears up here that's attached to your head that what the Brother Miller is preaching is the truth. But you got to get it from here to here. You got to get it to your heart ears. You've got to let your heart hear the word. You've got to let the word penetrate your heart that you might be convicted, that you might find trouble, that you might be saved. Doubt. Doubt ain't going to get you there. Many come to the altar and they're almost there, but all of a sudden they start having doubt. They think, well, I've been coming to this altar time and time and time again, and the Lord still ain't saved me. I just don't think he's going to. You come to the altar with that attitude, you're not going to get saved. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you that coming part of the way and having that doubt, the Lord is not going to save you. Look at your hearts. Search your hearts. Some of you stay in your pews. Some of you come to the altar. Maybe you're not doing exactly what the Lord's wanting you to do. You're trying to do it your own way. And I was thinking about that today, and I was thinking about how we want to do things our way. And I know the young people don't know it, but I know the older people do. That song of Frank Sinatra popped in my head. I did it my way. Well, I tell you what, you're not going to be saved by the grace of God doing it your way. You're going to be saved by the grace of God by coming his way, and that's the only way. He may want you, you may be determined to sit in that pew. He may want you to come to this altar up here. He may want you to come to this pew. He might want you to lay in the middle of the floor. Not to be silly, but he might want you to stand on your head. I'm telling you, you can't do it your way. You got to do it the Lord's way. You've got to trust in him. And like I said, I'm not trying to be silly about you standing on your head. I'm just trying to make a point that do what the Lord leads you to do. And don't try to do it yourself, because it ain't going to work. Trust me. I know that. It ain't going to work the way you want it to work. You may have plans that, well, I don't want to get saved yet because you want to get saved under a certain preacher. Might be your uncle. Well, I'm not going to get saved till my uncle preaches. Brother Todd, your niece is lost. I don't know what stands in the way. But this is just for instance. I want to get saved when my uncle preaches. Or I might want to get saved when my grandpa preaches. You can't wait on that. You can't pick the preachers that you want to get saved under. All we are is a mouthpiece of God. All we're trying to do is preach the word of God and preach the gospel to you. And you cannot make plans and pick out who you want to get saved under. You're going to get saved when the Lord is dealing with your heart and draws you and come to that altar, wherever that altar might be. Wherever that altar might be, not here. It could be in your pews. I'm not saying that you can't get saved there. I'm not saying you can't get saved up here. But you're going to have to come the Lord's way. And you know what? When you start getting rid of pride, when you start getting rid of what and quit worrying about what people might think about you, when you start getting rid of that doubt that you have in your heart, that, you know, I've come to the altar and I've come for years, the Lord just ain't going to save me. He's not with that kind of attitude. Not going to happen. But when you come to the Lord and you open up your heart to them, when you open up your heart and you fully trust in them with all your heart, and you look to Calvary, look to Calvary and look at Jesus hanging on that cross. Sinner friend, think about what he done for you. Look at that cross at Calvary and see how he was spread out, and how his hands were nailed to that cross and blood shed from his body and how it fell upon the ground. Sinner friend, that really happened. That's not just a story that's been told. That's reality. They have a lot of shows on TV now that they call reality shows. I don't think they're reality because producers tell every one of them what they want them to do and how they act and what to do, and some of them's disgusting. But I want to tell you a reality, the reality that Jesus Christ our Lord came in this world and was made flesh, and he walked upon this earth as we walk upon it today. And 2,000 plus years ago, he went to that cross at Calvary and shed his life's blood. Get it from these ears that are attached to your head, and get it to your heart ears that your heart might be able to hear. And get rid of that doubt in your heart. You know what? You're exactly where Satan wants you to be. You're exactly where he wants you to be, because he don't want you to be saved. You know what? He wants you to go to hell. You know what? You're going to hear a lot of things this week from me, from Brother Miller, and maybe whoever might be liberated to stand and preach. I don't care if a preacher comes into our revival and the Lord impresses him to preach. Let him preach. Let him preach the gospel if the Lord leads him to do it. It won't bother me one bit. But I'm telling you, do what the Lord would have you to do. I was fixing to say, you go hear a lot of things from me and Brother Miller, and I want to warn you right now, is you're going to hear a lot about hell. You're going to hear it from me. I'm not afraid to preach about hell. And I'm not up here to tickle your ears. I'm not up here to say the things that you want to hear. I'm up here to try to say the things that you need to hear. Amen. That's what the Lord called me to do, is preach his word. And some don't really want to know and hear the truth. Not all of it. These so-called churches out here that won't preach hell, I just can't call them a church, and I can't call them a preacher of God if they're not preaching the truth. I've learned that through repetition that we learn. The more we do things, the more we do it, the more we do it, the more we learn and the more we remember it. I'm going to mention hell several times this week. Brother Miller may mention hell several times this week. You know why? You know why I'm going to do it? Because eventually, I hope it sinks in. We have teachers here, and they can teach their students one time or teach her something one time, and the kids just don't get it. But sometimes you have to go over and over and over again for them to ever get it. I know that myself, because I'm pretty simple-minded, and sometimes I just have to get it over and over and over before I ever get it. That book right there that preachers preach out of, that book has not changed. Sometimes men want to take it and try to change it, but the true Word of God, that's what I'm talking about, the true Word of God has not changed. Brother Todd preaches about heaven and preaches about hell and preaches about Jesus Christ. Brother Miller preaches it. Brother Mike back there preaches it. Brother Miller preaches it. I mean, brother, what's your name, Brother Moore? Brother Moore preaches it. What other preachers have I missed? We preach the same thing. You can go to revival after revival. You can go to different churches, and you're going to hear the same thing. You're going to hear the Word of God. That is, if you go to the churches that are teaching and preaching the truth. Now, there are churches out there that's not doing it. And you know what? You need to stay away from them. Stay away from them, because you know why? They will cause confusion. They will confuse you. But I don't think you're going to get confused here at the church, Fairview Church. I was confused when I come here because you know what? I'd heard about all these other things that preachers preached about. I got confused because I started hearing the truth here. That's what confused me. Because I thought all the things that I was listening to and the things I was following, that it was right. But it wasn't. I heard the truth being preached here. And that truth is what pricked my heart. That truth is what made me realize who I was. That I was a sinner. Every one of us were sinners. Every one of us born sinners. Not a one of us under this roof is not without sin. But there's several of us that are saved by the grace of God. Why? Because we trusted in Him. Because we had that faith in what Christ done for us. I talked about pride. I was full of it. But I'm glad that the Lord let me get rid of that. Whatever it is that is standing in your way, get rid of it. Amen. Let it go. Tonight could be your night. How bad do you want it? How bad do you really, really want to be saved? You know what? I made mentions of people almost. They're almost there. They're almost there. You think, well, look at them. They're troubled and they're crying and they're pouring their heart out. They're almost there. They're going to be saved. But how many of them through the years almost got there, but then they remembered, well, I like doing this. I enjoy doing that. And if the Lord saves me, I'm going to have to give that up. And they'd rather have the things of the world than to ever inherit the kingdom of God. That's sad. That the devil has got them blinded so that they're so in love with the world that they're just here for a short time, they're going to die and go to hell and escape the deep pits of hell if you trust in the Lord. Get rid of the things of the world. Get rid of it. Because you know why? You that are lost, you want to hold on to the world, you know what? That's your choice. That is your choice. If you rather hold on to the things of this world, that you enjoy seeing that much, or whatever it is that's standing in your way, the Lord has given you a choice that you can do that. But it don't have to be that way. It don't have to be that way. Because Jesus died for you. He died for me. He died for every one of us. If you're not saved yet, you're not doing the right thing. I don't know what you need to do. gospel. Whatever you're doing, it's not working. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You're almost there, but whatever you're doing, it's not working. You need to get there all the way. And when you get there, the Lord will save your soul. And maybe you're looking for big things to happen when the Lord saves you. It might be nothing but that sweet, sweet peace. Just that sweet, sweet peace. That's what I got. I got that peace. But he let me know that I was his and not of the devil's anymore. He can let you know that tonight. Whatever's standing in your way, give it up. But I want to tell you something. There ain't none of you good. In God's eyes, there ain't none of you good. We're all sinners. We're filthy. And every one of us need to be saved. Amen. And thank the Lord that some of us have been saved. And you know what? The Lord is still able to save. That's another thing. Maybe you have doubt that the Lord's, he's not going to save people anymore. Well, I got news for you. Brother Miller said the Lord would come back tonight. He could. But he ain't yet. Pardon my language teachers, but he ain't come back yet. But it's possible. But you know what? He is a merciful God. He is merciful. And he's showing mercy on you right now because he's given you another opportunity to seek after him. But you know what? That opportunity might not always be there. Here, this has been a bad year for a lot of people. I know of young people that has lost their lives from car wrecks, getting in their cars, headed down the road, thinking they was fixed to go have a good time. Maybe they was going to work, and their life was taken from them instantly. Just a few weeks ago, when I was coming home from work, coming down 6880, a 19-year-old girl lost control of her car, and she hit a tree. They said she was killed on sight. You think that morning? Or do you even think when she left school that evening that she knew that her life would be taken? I don't think so. But it happened that fast. And it can happen to every one of you. I've had friends that have died with heart attacks. And it's like they died instantly. There was no warning to them. And then there's those that have died with cancer that it was a long illness. But you know what? They died. And I hope every one of them went to heaven. I told them Sunday night that I had the opportunity to do something. I had a friend to die a few weeks back. And the Lord really burdened my heart at work. And I told them that, you know, and we all know in the workplace, we have to watch what we say and what we do when we talk about the Lord anymore. And I worked with about 30 different guys, but my heart was burdened for them. And we have team meetings every morning. Talk about our work and what needs to be done and what's going on. But my heart was burdened so heavy for these guys I worked with that my team leader, my boss, is there anything else to be need to be said? And I said, yeah, there is. I said, I love all of you. I said, because the Lord has put something in my heart when he saved my soul. And I said, not everybody that is born in this world is going to heaven. Now, there are people, a lot of people believe that just because they're born in this world, that they're automatically going to heaven. But I said, it's not so. And I told them about being born again. And I told them, just because you go to church on the Sunday morning, it's not going to get you into heaven. I told them, because you go to church on a Wednesday night, then it's not going to get you into heaven. that you must be saved by the grace of God. And I told him, how many funerals have you gone to? And a preacher has stood up and preached the funeral, and he told and said that individual died and went to hell. I said, you've never heard none of them preach it, but I got news for you. Everybody that has laid in the coffin is not going to heaven. A preacher don't preach that that person died and went to hell. I think sometimes those funerals are hard to preach if a person knows that that person has never give a testimony of salvation, that we know that he's in the hand of a just God. We know that. But everybody that lays in a coffin don't make it to heaven. When that soul separated from that body, there are some that died and went to hell. And I hope that don't happen to you. I hope that when you die and they have a memorial service for you, that the preacher don't stand up there and say, well, I don't know where he stands with the Lord, or I don't know where she stands with the Lord, but she's in the hands of a just God. I hope that preacher can stand and say, I heard their testimony and I know that they're in heaven today. Those funerals are a whole lot easier to preach when you know where that person's at. Sinner friend, you need to get saved before the time runs out. That clock is a ticking. Tick, tick, tick. Your life is running out. You may think you have all the time in the world, but you don't know that, and we don't know that. You need to be saved by the grace of God. Let's have a song. I know that we have lost in the house tonight. Kaylee's come to pray. I hope tonight could be her night. I hope whatever it is that's been standing in her way in the past years, that she can work it out tonight. And bless her heart, she's been faithful to come. I'm glad that she hadn't give up. There may be times that she's got discouraged. There may be times that you've got discouraged and you think there is no hope. But I'm telling you, there is hope, because the Lord ain't come back yet. You still have time to get right with God. You still have time to know Jesus as your Savior. You still have that time. May God bless. Church, do what we need to do. Let's serve the Lord. Let's ask Him to manifest His power tonight. Let's ask Him to give us that revival. He knows what we're in need of. He knows what we're in want of. That is, if you really want it. Do you really want it? He's available to give it, and He's able to give it. He's able to give us a revival. He's able to give you salvation. He's able to save your soul. Sinner friend, I beg you tonight, become a beggar. Become a beggar. Beg the Lord to save your soul. Ronnie.
182.